Traffic and weather together on the 8th on All News 106.9 and AM 740 KCBS. KCBS News Time 12:20. Well, there are a number of economic reports out today. Gross domestic product numbers from the Commerce Department, a home price index from Case-Shiller, and consumer confidence numbers from the Conference Board. But what do all of these numbers really mean for the economy? There's a saying among economists that economics is what economists do, and that reading the economic tea leaves through the lens of a theory doesn't have much to do with social reality. J.W. Mason, an economics professor at John Jay College, City University of New York, has written about this idea. He joins us live on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline to talk more about it. Thanks a lot for talking to us today. So what does this mean?
Well, I think, as you said, we see and hear about a lot of economic data numbers on GDP and inflation and unemployment. And I think most people sort of naively assume that economists, professional economists, academic economists are studying those things, that they're looking at the same kind of data about people getting jobs or prices changing and answering the same sort of questions that we all ask about them, but just a little more rigorously. And the funny thing is that's really not what most economists are doing at all. I think people outside, and even a lot of people who are very critical of the economics profession, don't realize how disconnected economic scholarship is from what we think of as economics reality. So there's this enormous body of theory that may be interesting, but it may not really tell us much about the questions that we're really interested in.
So then what is the point of what they do?
Well, it's a good question. A lot of us, let me tell you, if I can try to explain very quickly what most macroeconomists are doing. Most macroeconomists are using a set of models that were originally developed back in the 1920s by a guy named Frank Ramsey. He was a young man, he was a communist, and he was interested in the question of what would a planner, a perfect ideal planner, if they were going to set the level of production and employment in the economy from today up till the end of time, what would be the best, the ideal path they could choose? It was an interesting exercise, just a thought experiment. He was a mathematician. He wasn't even that interested in economics. He thought it was an interesting thought experiment. And somehow this became adopted first as a theory about economic growth and then as a general theory about how the economy behaves, to the point where you pick up a textbook now and they're explicitly making the assumption, well, let's imagine an ideal planner. If we think GDP rose faster this quarter, or unemployment inched up a little bit, if we thought the whole economy was being planned to maximize people's welfare, their well-being, their happiness, why would the planner have chosen that change? It's a very strange question, but that is literally the question that most economics models are designed to answer.
So if those aren't going to give us much in terms of what's happening, you know, realistically, what should we be looking at? Which tea leaves to read? Which indices?
Well, I think the reality is that there are a lot of people, and this has been recognized for a long time, who work in government, who work at central banks, who are business forecasters, who are doing something they may have an economics PhD, their job title may be economist, but they're doing something very different from what people in university settings do. And they may have much more realistic models of the economy that are much more tuned to actual questions. If you look at somebody like Ben Bernanke, the former Fed chair, you know, if you look at his academic work, it really doesn't look like the sort of thing most economists do. He's much more interested in how the real financial system that we live with operates, how concrete historical events like the Great Depression happen. He's not living in this world of sort of a infinitely long-lived, infinitely foresightful representative agent picking everything from now until eternity. So there are economists who have a more realistic view, but you generally don't find them in university economics departments.
Huh. So what do you teach your students?
Well, I basically want my students to be able to read a newspaper. I want them to be able to follow debates about what the Fed is doing. I want them to be able to be informed citizens, and if they go into business, to be able to make reasonable decisions. And that means that I have to teach a lot of this stuff without using an economics textbook, because most economics textbooks don't really attempt to answer those questions. I think the good news, the silver lining here, is that since 2008, there's been a recognition in a lot of the economics profession that they have failed to answer the questions people really need answered. And institutions like the Institute for New Economic Thinking, where I've done some work, I've been trying with mixed success to promote a different approach to economics. But I think the sort of abstract formal mathematical models that most economists have really been focusing on since the 1980s, I think there's an increasing recognition they've just been a dead end.
Interesting. Well, thank you very much for sharing this with us. That's J.W. Mason, economics professor at John Jay College, City University of New York. On that note, let's turn to Jason Brooks.
Rebecca, fortunately, the indices are moving higher, so that is good news for our retirement accounts, at least for today. The Dow is up 21 points.